What's good, Atlanta? This is the Blog and Dirty Podcast, where dirty bird is the word if you haven't heard. I'm your host, John Bueller, lead writer for Fansided. This is Atlanta Falcons podcast for the Fansided site, Blog and Dirty. And we're having a special time right now. We won a game, guys. This is so exciting. It's been over a month, man. This team has circled the drain. It has hit rock bottom. Oh, it was so dark. Just losing Penix for the year. And losing to the Panthers, getting swept by them, haven't beaten them in over a year. It really stinks. But before we get started today, talking about your Atlanta Falcons getting back in the win column with a 24-10 victory over the no good, very bad New Orleans Saints, be sure to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit that like button, smash that subscribe button. Really helps the show grow. Again, I love talking Falcons with you guys. Let's do this real quick with 3 yards and a cloud of punt here on the Blog and Dirty Podcast. Let's get started with our first run of the day. The Atlanta Falcons defense came to play today. This was going to be the barometer for if Atlanta was going to mail it in this season. The most talented portion of this team is its defense. It's his most well-coached unit. It's all playing complementary off of each other. You're seeing the pass rush really start to come alive. I believe that the Falcons defense sacked Tyler Shuck 5 times, including a sack and a half from Brandon Dorlus. Again, he's become sensational. I think he's at, 5.5 sacks in 13 games with the Falcons over the last 2 years. Really, really good find there for Terry Fontenot out of fourth round, out of Oregon and everything like that. James Pierce Jr. had a big play on Tyler Shuck as well. We saw David Onyemata make plays. Defense really started to come alive. The game ultimately ended with a pick with an interception in the end zone from Xavier Watts. He just read Tyler Shuck's ball to perfection to really seal the deal here. But what was really, I think, important to understand here is The team's back to what it was, and all it took was one key player to come back, and that was linebacker extraordinaire Divine Diablo. And because once Diablo broke his forearm in the Sunday night game at the 49ers, the team hit the fan. You know, you didn't beat the 49ers in the second half. Lose to the Dolphins, lose to the Colts, lose to the Patriots, lose to the Commanders, not the Commanders, the Panthers. It just was all bad. When you have a guy out there who can do a lot in the linebacker position, a former safety who's converted to linebacker, it really takes the pressure off of Cade Nellis to do everything. And when you have a player like this in your linebacking core, it allows you to disguise things. It allows you to be able to generate pressure from anywhere and everywhere. It also takes takes a load off of the defensive backs having to stop everything and be ultra physical. But again, he's out there playing with the Gene Upshaw club in his hand. I absolutely love that. Really impressed with Jeff Ulbrich's side of the ball. Again, what you have to remember here about the Falcons today, the final score is 24-10. And you're thinking okay, a decisive two touchdown victory over the Saints. Atlanta was kind of in control from the start. It took a while for the offense to kind of get going, but I think the real big key here is Atlanta only allowed 10 points. 7 of which came on a pick 6 off of a ball that hit Kyle Pitts in the hands. And I believe Reed took it the other way. The other time was a field goal on a play where the Saints should have scored a touchdown. Again, really the big thing here. Also, it was great to watch the Saints lose the Drew Brees call in the game. I mean, I'd had that thing on mute for 3 quarters because I just couldn't stand to hear him. It is an absolute slobber fest talking about how great Tyler Shuck's going to be because he's not going to be. And I'll touch on that here shortly. But the big key of the game here, the stat that the reason why the Falcons won this game is the Saints had, I think, 4 possessions inside of the 30, the Falcons 30, and they came away with 3 points. You know, they had a turnover on downs, they had 2 missed field goals, and then they had another missed field goal. And again, really rough day there for the kicking department there for the Saints. But you're inside, you're at home, you're in a dome. It doesn't matter. You have to be better than this. Zane Gonzalez made all 3 of his kicks today, I think, for Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. I make sure that's correct. Let's see if I go down here to the line here. Zane Gonzalez was 3 for 3, whereas Blake Griep was 1 for 3. And certainly not a great day there for him at all. The defense, it's not really the problem here. I know that Bryce Young threw for a bunch of yards here on us, but this defense was out here for the better part of the second half. like I think Atlanta had like 1-3 and out, and the Saints just kind of was matriculating the ball down the field, boys, like a Hank Stram, a Kansas City Chiefs team, or you know, like what the Army Black Knights do under Jeff Monken. But they couldn't punch it in. And you got to give the Falcons defense credit for, you know, being the ultimate bend but don't break. Again, that's a lot of extra reps that are being put on you, a lot of weight, a lot of toll. But like obviously getting Diablo back, not having to rely on Bertrand to play at all is kind of a huge, huge advantage for this team. But I'm really proud of the way that the guys showed up on defense today. I mean, like if you didn't win this game, imagine what happens come Monday. Like you're firing like Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson before Christmas or before Thanksgiving. Like, it had gotten to that point. Maybe that will still be what Arthur Blank ultimately decides here at the end of the season. But you're 4-7. You can somehow convince yourself that you just might maybe almost sort of could maybe can possibly, you know, waffle your way into the playoffs at 10-7. Like, that's not happening. You lost 5 in a row. Anytime you do that, unless you catch absolute fire, it's not happening. Particularly, you know, you're on your backup quarterback now and Kirk Cousins. And, you know, that, I think that's a nice way to parlay here that into our second run of the day. Gotta be real honest with you. Kirk Cousins under center and using play action really opens up this offense. This is something that we did not have working for us with Penix. And this is probably what drove me the most crazy for the first half of the season with Penix. If the Falcons are in the pistol, meaning that Penix is in shotgun and then Bijan Robinson or Tyler Rozier is lined up behind him, pretty much means a run. If he's lined up in shotgun and the running back is to his left or his right, wherever he's going to line up, that might mean pass. And it's really hard to be multiple on offense when the other team just knows your tendencies with your play calling. And again, Robinson, I'm talking Zach Robinson's got to get better at this. What has made Cousins a lot of money in this career and a Hall of very good caliber quarterback, you know, whether his time with Washington, whether it was with the Vikings, you know, the brief pockets of good he's had here with the Falcons over the last 2 years, is when he is able to be under center and use play action, the defense bites on it. He's got really good with the cadence and he does a really good job of selling it. It's the same thing that made Matt Ryan so fantastic for so many years. When you get the defense that's untrained, not expected to see this because everybody's pretty much in spread, everybody's, you know, up tempo, almost operating exclusively out of shotgun, it catches you by surprise. And when you're a guy who's a quarterback that thrives on accuracy, like Cousins has, like Jared Goff has, like Ryan has, guys cut from that cloth, you can have a field day. You can carve it up. And I wouldn't necessarily say that was exactly the case there for Cousins today. Again, stat line may not be entirely indicative of that. He was 16 for 23 for 199 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Got sacked 3 times, but had a quarterback rating of 107. Again, that's pretty good. 2 carries for 5 yards. Again, long of 6. We got to kind of see Cousins kind of play, kind of like vintage Cousins, like what he was like when he was at his peak with the Vikings. And again, maybe we saw that at times here in Atlanta last year before he eventually gave way to Michael Penix Jr. But when you can use your quarterback, when you have the whole playbook effectively open up and it's not so predictable, then you're giving your offense an opportunity to have success. More importantly, you're giving your defense, this is a defense-led team, it's been defensive-minded the whole time, it gives us an opportunity to really take advantage of every snap it has, you know, not wasting too many on that side of the ball. I think if I look at this, like what Atlanta had, what, 29 plus 23 plays, so what, 52 plays. I mean, the Saints had 45 plus 8, so at 63 plays. Like the Saints had so many more opportunities to take advantage of it. But then again, you know, they only averaged 2.8 yards per carry, whereas the Falcons are at 4.2. Yards per passing attempt, Atlanta was at 8.7, whereas the Saints were at 5.4 as a team.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury. The consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
And, you know, it's the time of possession. I think that the Saints dominated that throughout, if I'm not mistaken. Time of possession, just looking at this real quick. Okay, Saints had 32-51. The Falcons are at 27-09. But, again, the Saints had the ball for the better part of the second half. That's become something that I've noticed with the Falcons under Raheem Morris. Like, we saw the Commanders do that to us last year. We've seen the Panthers do that. And that really scares me, because I think other teams, like, you know what, this Falcons offense is high octane. It can score pretty quickly. You know, Al is illustrated by that massive touchdown bomb from Cousins to Mooney. That's, you know, they can score in a hurry, but I think the other team tries to take the ball away from them. The Falcons defense is talented, but it's kind of more bit of don't break. You can dominate time of possession, but you got to be more effective in the red zone here. And again, Cousins didn't play perfectly, but he certainly played well enough to win this game, even against the sad bag of crap that is the New Orleans Saints. I'll touch more on this here in a little bit. Very pleased kind of with how he needed to kind of get into the rhythm of the game. This is a lot better of a game plan, a lot better of an execution there out of Cousins and the offense when compared to the disaster that was at home a couple weeks ago versus the Miami Dolphins. Leads me to kind of believe that, you know, maybe there will be some more wins on the horizon. This is not going to be a 4-13 team. If they do, I mean, that'd be wild to end the season there. What on a 6-game losing streak after having a 5 going, well, losing 11 of your last 12. God, that'd be insane. But, you know, it'd be very Falcons of us. But we got the win today, and that's all that really matters. Cousins look like vintage Cousins. Can't really complain too much about that. So let's move on to the second half of our post-game recap here, show with our pass. Again, thing that I'm passing on, no. I ran with the first two. Feeling very good about the defense the Falcons had. Their effort. Big fan of, you know, watching what's his name? Why do people always at me on Slack when I'm recording? I do not understand. I'm not even working right now. Like, what are we doing? The third down, the other second run, you know, obviously Cousins playing well you know, as a starter now, but obviously we got to pass on the other quarterback. Tyler Shuck's not an NFL quarterback in any capacity. I'm sorry. I don't care what Drew Brees is saying about the traits and everything. This guy played quarterback for 7 years at 3 different schools. He played at Oregon, he played at Texas Tech, and then he played at Louisville. And he didn't even think he had an NFL future, but he played 1 year under Jeff Brohm, looked kind of halfway decent. And everyone's like, oh, he's a big, strapping young guy. I mean, I think he's the last player to get drafted whose birth year starts with 1. I think he was born in 1999. He doesn't have it. And I understand that the Saints do not have a lot of talent in some parts of the game. I think really, I think a real big issue that they're dealing with is, you know, the cap issues. Alvin Kamara is getting older. He got hurt a little bit. That kind of stinks. I mean, he's not a good person, not a good person. I can't stand him. Anybody who knows the show, Alvin Kamara is my least favorite players of all time. Right up there with Marcus Mariota. He's probably that Mount Rushmore for me. But look, you have Kellen Moore, who is a former quarterback, as your head coach. You have Doug Nussmeier, a former quarterback, as your offensive coordinator. Yes, these are new roles for them. This is a new role for Shuck, too, you know, playing and starting as a quarterback in the NFL. Couldn't beat out Spencer Rattler to start the year. And I don't really know what happened, what eventually led to him giving way, and now Shuck being the second-round pick that's starting games for them. Took a lot of really bad sacks today. The Falcons got to him 5 times. You also had the really bad snap to Kamara, which led to a turnover, which got the Falcons' first points of the game. Shout out to D. Alford. He played very well. He's been playing pretty well all season long. And this is a guy that was like, we thought was going to deserving of being cut. You know, the Jimmy Lake defense, just more proof that Jimmy Lake didn't know what he was doing in terms of a defensive coordinator. Obviously, we've seen Oliver kind of go back to what he was playing like in 23 under Ryan Nielsen and everything like that. So that's certainly fantastic. as far as Shuck is concerned, there's just a the game's not slowing down for him. I'll tell you what, the fact that the Saints still want to use the 30-something gadget player that is, Taysom Hill, I'll never understand it. And, you know, the Saints deserved to have that ball snap over his head, and then he had to throw that intentional grounding. And the Saints are doing cartwheels in Bourbon Street that the Falcons got, the Cousins got dogged for an intentional grounding, too, as a makeup call. Look, if Shuck was worth the damn, he'd be out there and he would have led them into the end of the end zone for six. He couldn't even do it once. You know, the only touchdown the Saints scored is on a pick six to Cousins. The Cousins is like, you know what? You can have that because your quarterback can't get that for you. And I think, honestly, this is even more important, I think, for the Saints sort of component. When your quarterback is not breeding confidence into your team, particularly into your offense, it puts a hell of a lot of pressure on your kicker. And I understand that Grippy didn't have what the hell is his name? He's not Will Lutz, whatever the hell his name is. The kicker for the awful kicker for the Saints, Blake Grippy, Blake Groot, whatever. He's about as effective as Groot at saying more than I am Groot. When you do not have a quarterback that you can trust and your kicker's got to make everything and bail you out, that's a losing proposition, because that's a position built on repetition, confidence, and getting hot. And I think, you know, once it gets in your head as a kicker, you're screwed. And it happens to the best and the worst of them at times. And Tyler Shuck ain't it. He is absolutely not it at all under any capacity. I can't believe they took him in the second round. What a waste of a pick. And I know Drew Brees was like buttering him up like a biscuit. It's over. This guy's, he's old. He can't play. Maybe this will come back to bite the Falcons in the ass the final game of the season. Like, what if we just have to beat the Saints to make the playoffs? It's like something dumb like 9-8, and we can't do it. We're going to be on the 8-9. God, that'd be insane. I don't think that's our future, but, you know, we do lose those games. The good news is, like, prior to this, I think the last five games of Falcons Saints, the home team has won. So we ended that, but we got to keep a streak going. We got to beat them. We got to sweep them because we got swept by the Panthers. God. And let's move on to our final topic today. Let's do some punt. Again, this doesn't mean like I'm done with it. This just means I don't know. I have no idea how many more wins the Falcons have left in them. Again, they are what? 4-7. 2-4 away from Atlanta. They're third in the NFC South. Just reading stuff here. All right. Here's what they've got left. They've got six games left. You're at the New York Jets next week, 1:00 start. Got to play that terrible field in MetLife. I think you can win that game. You got a home game versus the Seahawks. Mike McDonald is from Atlanta. Went to Centennial High School. I think he taught at Cedar Shoals, a little bit older than me. Was at UGA and everything like that. Don't think you're going to win that game. Then you got a short week at Tampa. Don't think you're going to win that game either. At the Cardinals on extended week, I think you got that potentially. Rams, I think on a Monday night. Again, I think the Rams will probably already be locked for the playoffs at that point. I thought the Falcons could get them earlier. You know, if they play like they do versus the Bills, maybe you can get that. Not banking on that very much. And then you got a home game versus the Saints. So right now, extreme optimism you go forward to in that spot. So you finish the season at 8-9 again. God, can't even get above 500. Probably go 3-3. You get the Arthur Smith 7-10 split there. Isn't that just delightful? But the good news is, I think this team is going to continue to play hard each and every week. I don't think they're going to win all their games. I think they're going to lose a lot of games too. They're going to lose as many as they win. Maybe give or take one of there. But they have no incentive to lose as an organization. Their first-round pick next year is effectively James Pierce Jr. right now, and he's already started to produce for you. Your starting quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., is out for the year with IR, but, you know, you're not paying very much. You've got Cousins under contract. Again, you don't look that stupid. But everybody else who's not a fan of this team will say we look stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. Neither do we, but don't say dumb stuff about our team. Only we can do that. Don't be that grossly uninformed. And then, you know, you don't want to give the Rams a better pick. And honestly, like, maybe that gives the Falcons more of an incentive to beat the Rams. Again, like, nothing that really matters at all. But, like, you got to make some micro adjustments. Maybe you got to make some changes to the coaching staff. Again, I don't really know. Team's very close. Also, the fact that you were able to score with not just force feeding the ball to Drake London. Again, Cousins does a better job of distributing it to other guys. David Sills got a touchdown. David Sills, the fifth, got a touchdown. I mean, come on, man. What are we doing here? Oh, man. And this was, three yards a cloud of punt here on the Bloggity Podcast. You can follow me, John Bueller, on Twitter or the X at Bueller118. You can follow the show along at Bloggin' Dirty on Twitter. Be sure to follow along on YouTube at Bloggin' Dirty FS. Like, rate, listen, subscribe, review on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere there's podcasts. Give us a 5-star review. You know, anywhere out there, just say that the show is awesome. Say John Bueller is so cool. John Bueller is so smart. I love listening to this long-haired dude from the South talk about the Falcons. It's nice to be in a good mood doing one of these shows, you know. Don't have the sun blinding me at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday. But, again, I will be back on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, to kind of help us preview our game versus the Jetty Jets. I'm going to be incredibly disrespectful to that game. I have no respect for the Jets. Never have, never will. And probably end up losing that game because we're the Falcons. But you know what? We won this game. And that's really all that matters here. Once again, thanks for listening, and this is the Bloggin' Dirty Podcast.